Today is Low Sunday. Father Simons had a successful surgery last Thursday, and we want to thank you all for your masses and prayers for him. Please continue to pray for his full recovery. There will be the blessing of articles after Mass today at the communion rail. We will not have benediction of the Blessed Sacrament this evening. We will not have a talk on the Catholic faith this Wednesday, but we'll resume those talks in May at a time to be announced. This Saturday, we will have catechism classes, and they will begin after the 8:30 Mass on Saturday. The feast for this week today is the Feast of St. George. Tomorrow is the Feast of St. Fidelis of Sigmaringen. Tuesday is the Feast of St. Mark the Evangelist. Wednesday is the Feast of the Popes Cletus and Marcellinus. Thursday is the Feast of St. Peter Canisius. Friday is the Feast of St. Paul the Cross. And Saturday is the Feast of St. Peter of Verona. So just to repeat, thank you. Father Simons is doing well. We'll have blessing of the articles. There's no benediction. There's no Catholic faith talk this Wednesday, but there'll be catechism classes after the 8:30 Mass this Saturday. The epistle for this Mass is taken from St. John's first epistle. Beloved, all that is born of God overcomes the world, and this is the victory that overcomes the world, our faith. Who is there that overcomes the world if not he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God? This is he who came in water and in the blood, Jesus Christ, not in the water only, but in the water and in the blood. It is the Spirit that bears witness that Christ is the truth. For there are three that bear witness in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Spirit, and these three are one. And there are three that bear witness on earth, the Spirit and the water and the blood, and these three are one. If we receive the testimony of men, the testimony of God is greater. For this is the testimony of God which is greater, that he who has borne witness concerning his Son, he who believes in the Son of God, has the testimony of God in himself. Please stand for the Gospel. The Holy Gospel for this Mass is taken from the account according to St. John, chapter 20, verses 19 to 31. At that time, when it was late that same day, the first of the week, though the doors where the disciples gathered had been closed for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood in the midst and said to them, "Peace be to you." And when he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. The disciples therefore rejoiced at the sight of the Lord. He therefore said to them again, "Peace be to you. As the Father has sent me, I also send you." When he had said this, he breathed upon them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. Whose sins you shall forgive, they are forgiven them. And whose sins you shall retain, they are retained." Now Thomas, one of the 12, called the twin, was not with them when Jesus came. The other disciples therefore said to him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see in his hands the print of the nails, and put my finger into the place of the nails, and put my hand into his side, I will not believe." And after 8 days, his disciples were again inside, and Thomas with them. Jesus came, the doors being closed, and stood in their midst and said, "Peace be to you." Then he said to Thomas, "Bring here thy finger and see my hands, and bring here thy hand and put it into my side, and be not unbelieving, but believing." Thomas answered and said to him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said to him, "Because thou hast seen, Thomas, thou hast believed. Blessed are they who have not seen, and yet have believed." Many other signs also Jesus worked in the sight of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written, that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you may have life in his name. Thus far the words of today's Holy Gospel. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen. This is the octave of Easter. And so you see, we are renewing everything about the feast. It is such a great feast. It is the greatest feast of the year. And so we renew it. Everything is done the same. We retain all of the decorations from Easter because we're renewing all of the mysteries, all of the celebration, all of the truths that Easter gives us. And we are not taking the time to do this, but for those people who are not able to come to the Easter Vigil, just want to remind you of what happens right before the Mass starts at the Easter Vigil. And that is the renewal of the baptismal vows. And so for those who are not able to come, we cannot read it here, but to remind you, the priest says to all those in attendance, that is to all the people, even if you are not there, Holy Mother Church, dearest brethren, on this most holy night, as we wait for the rising of the Son of God, calls us to recall what our Lenten observance has done for us, that we carry those practices throughout the rest of the year, not to abandon them. Today's collect tells us all of those mysteries of the Passover, the Paschal mysteries, let us retain them in our lives as we go forward. All of those people who were baptized at that Easter Vigil, for the days from then until yesterday, were wearing their white garments, the one that each of us has placed on us at our baptism. They wore them for this whole week, and they were given back yesterday. And then today's Mass was to tell them, by putting aside those white garments, does not mean you put aside everything that you have received. That means we should not put anything away. Everything that you did, now we may not have been as good as we wanted to be in Lent, but everything that we did during Lent, do not abandon that. That's just the beginning. And so the priest says to the people, now that we have finished the Lenten observance, now we renew our baptismal vows. So we join with the people who are being baptized and we renew our baptismal vows. And then he begins to say, do you renounce Satan? And everyone answers. You can answer if you haven't yet. And all his works and all his pomps. Do you believe? And then he starts to recite the Apostles' Creed. Do you believe in God? And so on. So even if you were not there, the Easter Vigil, you must do that today. As we heard last week on Easter Sunday, we must make the act of faith. And this is a renewal of that feast. We must do it today. And St. John tells us in the epistle, this is our victory over the world, our faith. Now, this is so pivotal that our Lord, this man who died, rose by his own power from the dead, proving his power over death, which is a consequence of sin, which means he has power over sin, all sin, original sin, actual sin. He is God. And so the enemies of the church, right from the beginning, we have it right in the gospel, bribing the soldiers to lie about it. That hasn't changed. It hasn't changed one iota. They still are lying because the devil has to take this away from the people. It is so essential for us to have to be able to believe. Without the resurrection, St. Paul says, your faith is vain. So you, by baptism, by actual graces, by the virtues and the gifts, you have all the power you need. You don't need any degrees in anything. The littlest child with a gift of reason knows when someone is lying to them about God And as soon as you sense that, your guardian angel helps to remind you, that doesn't sound right. You turn away from it. Do not listen at all. Listening is what brought everything into trouble with Eve. The devil whispered to her, and she listened and started to debate with him. No need to do that. You are victorious over him by just turning away and not listening. Even the smallest child, that's the amazing thing. Lucifer is a mighty creature. He's still a creature. By nature, he is by far superior to us. And the littlest child that spurns a temptation humiliates him, as we cannot even imagine. Think of that. Just think of that. This powerful angel cannot make a little child do something evil. Isn't that amazing? We have victory over the world and the devil every time we conquer a temptation. And the faith is that weapon. So this is the day we have to renew all of our adherence to the faith. And they will attack, as they do all the time. They attack constantly, telling us that all of the Easter accounts are not true, etc. We were going to go through all of the account of Easter because it's beautiful to try and see how all of these happen. Our Lord was extremely busy. Today's gospel account is telling us what he was doing at the end of the day. He had already seen the women who had come to the tomb. He had already talked to St. Mary Magdalene. She had had several encounters before she actually spoke to our Lord. Then we have the account from yesterday's Mass. Each day has had its own Mass. Yesterday was she went back, told the apostles, they've taken his body. His body's missing. And the apostles run, Peter and John, and what happens, they go in, all of the story there. All of these things are taking place. The disciples on the road to Emmaus, our Lord joins them. They don't recognize him, he tells them, and then they recognize him in the breaking of the bread. Then we have the account, when those people came back, those two disciples came back, reported what had happened, the apostles said to them, that's amazing, but our Lord had already appeared to St. Peter himself individually. This is all this was going on. Now the gospel does, so we're not going to, we just said it that way quickly. The gospel does not tell us about the one person who was there for everything, who it says stood at the foot of the cross, who was prophesied that her heart would be pierced by a sword. It doesn't tell us anything about her on this day. It tells about all these terrible sinners like St. Mary Magdalene, who was converted, St. Peter, who denied him. But it says nothing about the Blessed Virgin Mary. Does that make sense? But for those who, of course, adhere to tradition, not just scripture, we already know that the first person was the Blessed Mother that our Lord appeared to and came to. But in the gospel, we have, if you want, by exception, the Blessed Mother who was leading all these people, who was standing at the foot of the cross, St. Mary Magdalene and the other holy women, when they all came to anoint the body, the evangelist lists all of the names, does not list the Blessed Virgin Mary. That is telling us, why wasn't she there? Why wasn't she there for this anointing? It's her son. Why wasn't she there? She knew he wasn't there to be anointed. Now, besides the rosary, there are other chaplets. One is called the Franciscan crown. It consists not of five decades of the rosary, it consists of seven decades. And that's 7 times 10, 70. And then there are 2 Hail Marys at the end, making it a total of 72 Hail Marys, because the traditional age of Our Lady when she was assumed into heaven. This has all of the mysteries of the, a combination of the mysteries of the joyful mysteries and the glorious, and it's called, the Franciscan crown recounts the joys of the Blessed Virgin Mary, as the Servite chaplet tells us about the 7 sorrows of the Blessed Virgin. So there's a parallel there. I'm just mentioning this so you have a little background. So it has the mysteries of our Lord's infancy, the Annunciation, Visitation, Nativity, and the finding in the temple. And then of the God, of the glorious, it has the resurrection and the Assumption, coronation combined. There's one added that you can see up to six. The seventh one is the adoration of the Magi as one of these joys of the Blessed Virgin Mary. You go into a little bit just as a background, just to point this out. From the fifth joy to the sixth, the fifth joy of the Blessed Mother in this crown is the finding of our Lord in the temple. The sixth joy is the resurrection. Now, you recall that the finding in the temple came after the loss of our Lord for 3 days. This was the, of all those sorrows, we can say, the most closely tied one to his eventual death, because for 3 days she would be deprived of him also. And the great joy of finding him in the temple, and the dialogue that they had. Why have you done this to us? And our Lord said, I must be about my Father's business. And it says they did not understand his word, but of course, in the interim, they had learned. The Blessed Mother knew exactly. And now comes the mystery, the joy of the resurrection. And she does not ask, we don't know what happened at that meeting, but we can presume she did not ask, why have you done this to us? She knows why, to save us. She knows he is about his Father's business. And who knows what happened? We cannot go through all of the different people in the Easter Day account. But you see how our Lord reacted and acted differently to everyone. So that with the holy women, he let those holy women grab his feet. But when St. Mary Magdalene tried to, he said no. He let the apostles, by the way, you can see how our Lord, we are sensible beings, and he makes us use our senses to feel the proof of what was happening. So with the apostles, it says in the gospel, they rejoiced at the sight of the Lord. And that was not enough for St. Thomas, as we know. I want to use another sense. I want to use my sense of touch. And the great depictions in art of our Lord even taking his hand and putting it into his Sacred Heart. We have a lot to thank St. Thomas for. Every Mass that we see the elevation, we should be thinking of that. My Lord and my God, of all the saints, of all of the apostles, his words are the ones we say when we see our Lord in the Eucharist. So when we think of the Blessed Virgin Mary, how did our Lord act towards her and her reaction? Can we think and not be in any way wrong, that this was maybe the greatest hug of all time? And hugging today is, but have you ever hugged someone after a terrible ordeal? Or if you've ever hugged someone after a long separation, that's nothing compared to the hug of this mother, this embrace of the mother and her divine son. That's what we understand that started this day. And our Lord, now to come to this gospel account. So we are thinking of everything that we have to skip. We come to this gospel account. And our Lord, 3 times, says to these people, peace be to you. Peace, the tranquility of order. I have come to restore the tranquility, the rest that is there when order is in place. And he said it repeatedly to those apostles because they had abandoned him. And he said it again to St. Thomas because he not only abandoned him, but he was denying that he had risen. And then to cement that, he gives the sacrament of penance. This is the words he gave, whose sins you shall forgive. God is telling us, because we all are sinners, that's why the apostles and the saints are so appealing to us, because they're so much like us. We all make mistakes, and God is telling us today, as he told them, peace be to you. If you in any way turned against me, you have the sacrament of penance. So we have that to be grateful to our Lord for also. A little bit of time left. We want to, and we can't go through all of the proofs, all of the apologetic against the attacks of the enemies. We'll just leave with that. If you hear anything that deflects in any way from the faith, just close your ears and walk away. And if anything does creep in and you just have a question, ask any of the priests or look it up in the catechism. Anything they're saying today is like 2,000 years old. It is nothing new. The other thing is, we will not take time here to go through what our Lord was experienced and showing us about a glorified body. The ability to pass through material things. It says that St. John makes an emphasis. We had the doors locked. We were afraid. We're not going to let anyone break in on us. And our Lord just walks right through. And we have can't go into the detail of this. But you see, we have the angels announcing his rising from the dead, and they are there talking to Mary Magdalene. That's just like the Nativity. So as our Lord came into the world at the very beginning on Christmas, he had the angels announce that he came miraculously through the body of the Blessed Virgin Mary into the world. Here we have the same thing as he comes back into the world with his new life, his new glorified life. Same thing, angels are there, etc. But the thing I want to talk about here at the end is this, and that's why I really, if you notice, I just raced right through the saints, because I wanted to tell you this. And this is for everybody, because it doesn't matter what age we are, we need to have faith and we have to be on top of it. But we say it mostly for young people, because the devil is out for you most. If he can turn you when you're young, then he has an agent for the rest of your life. And one of the main places, besides the media, is the education system. Now, we adults have come through that. It's probably worse today. I don't know who has it worse. But just that overwhelming sense of doubt. That's what we experienced. The overwhelming sense that you cannot be sure of anything. Everything is uncertain. The path of the agnostic is the best. Don't say there is no God. Don't say there is a God. You are above it all. You are the one that says, I don't know. And you have to fight that. But this is the mystery that makes it easy. And this week has one saint after another. We have heard sermons about the stational church for today, St. Pancras. This is the great feast of Easter being renewed. And where is the church assembling? What church are we going to meet at? Is it St. Mary Major? St. John Lateran? Is it St. Peter's? No, we're going to be at the Church of St. Pancras. Who is that? He was a 14-year-old orphan from Syria. His parents had died, and he had gone to live with his uncle, and his uncle had moved to Rome, and they had been converted there. And then in the year 303, he was martyred because he would not renounce Christ. And today is also the Feast of St. George. We just mention that because at the other end of the empire, we have Rome in the west, and in what is currently Turkey, we have St. George, a soldier in the Imperial Army, standing up to the emperor and saying, I will not renounce Christ. And he's, so we have a 14-year-old and we have a soldier, and in the same year they are standing up for Christ. We have Saint Fidelis, can't tell his story, but how he was martyred. We have Saint Cletus and Marcellinus. We cannot tell the stories of the popes, but their martyrdoms. Saint Peter Canisius, he was not a martyr, but the great champion of the faith from the Protestant Reformation, saving all those northern countries from the curse of Luther. Saint Paul the Cross, his descendants, as he has prophesied, going to England to save the people from the English Reformation. And then at the end of the week, St. Peter of Verona, or called St. Peter Martyr, the infant son of heretics who converted and wanted to pray, he prayed to give his life to save these people, and he did. And you remember, as he died in his blood, he wrote the word credo, I believe. Those are the examples that we must have. And we did skip St. Mark to save it for this. And we have to stop. St. Mark, the evangelist, the disciple of St. Peter and everything, all that, founder of Alexandria, all that. I'll just tell you this. There is, and his whole story, this can't go into it. It is part of the Dead Sea Scrolls. The Dominican, in 1972, in analyzing one of these tiny little fragments known as 7Q5, which means it's from the Qumran Dead Sea Scrolls, and it was found in the seventh cave. They found these in different caves there. I'm quickly jumping over this. And this fifth little piece. And he, through his analysis, you know, these five lines, just little Greek letters on different lines, and he scoured whatever he did, and he came up with what he said is all of these Greek letters on these different lines line up with a citation from St. Mark's Gospel. And through the study of the writing of that time, which is his own field, he dated this to 50 or 60 A.D., Now, we know Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, so we know St. Mark is the second evangelist. This little tiny thing is indicating if St. Mark is the second, then the first epistle, the first gospel, was written before that, which coincides with what we know from tradition. St. Matthew wrote in the year 42. Now, we go through a little detail on that. Why? Because the Catholic Church, as you've heard so many times, is the mother and the mistress of all truth and of all civilization. Has anyone here heard about 7Q5? That is because the devil doesn't want you to know. Because he wants you to think that those gospels were not written by Saints Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. They were not written in those years. They were written in the second century by people who were just around putting together little beliefs and things. That's what the modernists want you to think. And Easter, I can't go through the detail on this. I just want to tell, because many times you hear from the pulpit, the church has been around, the church is the origin of hospitals and schools and universities and Gothic cathedrals. I take a Gothic cathedral. These people were primitives, the Middle Ages, the Dark Ages. Now, we understand the pagans built those pyramids, but do you know what kind of resources they had to do that? That was the pharaoh in taking in all of these people, how many thousands that they figure out to do all of that, right? Well, Europe is dotted, covered with Gothic cathedrals, put up not just in Paris or London or name the place, but put up in little towns by little people. And it's not just three or five pyramids. There are dozens, hundreds of cathedrals built to the faith in Christ. Catholics have nothing to be ashamed of. And in the scientific world, when you take the education of the Middle Ages, we cannot go through the detail, we're just mentioning some. What was called the trivium, the three subjects that they first started with, grammar, rhetoric, and logic, so they knew how to read and write and think correctly. Then on top of that, they had the quadrivium, the next four things. Ready? Music, arithmetic, can't think of the fourth, but this one I want to stress. Astronomy. Now, these are carryovers from the ancient education, too. But you know why astronomy was critical to Catholics? Because they had to know how to calculate the day for Easter. And this search for the truth, which we hear St. Peter telling us, you who are the newborn in the faith, and for that, that's all of us, we renew our baptismal vows, you must seek after that pure, unadulterated milk of truth. And Holy Mother of the Church is the leader of that. And to show you the power that if it wasn't for the Church, today would be April 13th. What is he talking about? Because the Church in 1582, Pope Gregory XIII, he had done it in 1581, he had made the proclamation, but it took place in 1582. He said, this is off. Over time, we've lost count of 10 days. So he decreed we're going to skip 10 days to get ourselves back on track. And it's very interesting that he picked October 4th, 1582, so that the next day was going to be October 15th. And that's just historically an interesting thing, because that's the night that St. Teresa of Avila died. So we celebrate her feast on October 15th, but she actually died in the old calendar there, so there you go. Well, do you know that those non-Catholics refused to accept that change? Obviously, why? So it took them, at least in England, 170 years to finally humble themselves and accept the scientific reality that the Church was right. And they, in 1752, changed their calendar. So they caught up, and they are today is April 23rd for them too. So I'm just giving you little bits and pieces so that the young people do not feel in any way inferior, as they try to make you feel. You are followers of superstition. No, we're not. You are. Some great writers, is it Chesterton, says, it takes more faith to believe in evolution than it does to believe in Christ. And others, maybe he was one too, that said, once you stop believing in God, you'll believe anything. These people are clever. And if you notice that in this great age of science and empiricism and everything else, how many people go out to palm readers and everything else? And they, check the stars and everything. I mean, the pagans were beyond that. So we laugh at the people who are the pagan superstitions. So we tell everyone, but especially young people, do not listen to them. And they hide all of this from us because they control the media. They hide it to make us feel superstitious, inferior, stupid. No. The Church is the leader of the truth. Why? Because we follow Christ, who is truth. So at this Mass, we renew our faith in God, and we receive him in Holy Communion. Yes, that's what we're receiving, God. And we love him, and we'll do anything for him, even give our blood and sign in it, Credo. May God bless you.